Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously Fukushima irradiated and super storm savvy island chained paradise of New Zealand. And my very special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is the, the word ubiquitous comes to mind. I don't even know what the word ubiquitous means. I hope it's something positive. It's Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Behind me on the screen, Suzanne, we have my Safari open to OccupyCorporatism.com, and there ain't no OccupyCorporatism.com.
I know. I know. It's the third day now. My website is under heavy DDoS attack. I've been speaking with the hosting company. They have IP addresses that tie into Dubai. They have IP addresses that tie into Brazil. But I believe that those are mirrors. And for those who don't know, mirrors are a way for a hacker to bounce off of a area to make it look like the information or the attack is coming from that IP address, when really it's just them bouncing off of them to get to where they're going. So I don't know what to do. We have isolated some IP addresses, and I've gotten some information just recently from a wonderful, amazing, good friend of mine that will help my hosting company locate the people who are attacking, because it's a federal crime. What is happening right now? It's also harming my business, and I think that prosecution might be in order. Extradition, you know, somebody might be riding in a bus. Do they still chain those guys down?
Well, shoot, I hope so.
I hope so too. Like, can we get a photo op?
Yeah. You know, state prison with the orange jumpsuits and the loose manacles.
Yep.
The Crocs blunders.
You know, and it's funny because it's on a timer, too. My website, when I woke up this morning at about 7 o'clock Pacific time, my website was up. I put in a few articles, quickly put them in, and was promoting an article. And by 9 o'clock Pacific time, the website was down, and it's been that way ever since.
What was the very last article you posted?
The very last article I posted was the connection between Obamacare, DDoS attacks, and mental illness.
Whoa. So let me get this straight. You criticize Obamacare and DDoS attacks and mental illness, and then somebody who's got mental illness DDoS attacks you.
I don't know. Well, I mean, that's an assumption. They might actually be a functioning adult. You know, you never know.
I don't know, man. If you're trying to hack take out Suzanne Posel's OccupyCorporatism.com's in the top 10,000 websites in the world, huge amounts of really good articles exposing copious quantities of scumbaggery, you must have something wrong with your head, boy.
Well, I mean, I thought it was ironic. It was Saturday. This article actually was going viral, and people started telling me on Sunday that they couldn't view my website, and that's when it was Sunday. And it was hard to get a hold of the president of the company that hosts my website. He's a friend of mine, and so I got with him on Monday morning, and they were mitigating the damage as much as possible. It was up and down. Maybe some people could view it in one place where others couldn't view it in another. But basically, it was just up and down and up and down. Every time they turn it on, or they shut it down, and every time they turn it back on, it would just hammer. And so they resorted to isolating IP addresses and just manually blocking IP addresses. And anything that clicks on it more than once a second is being blocked right now. But it's so high intensity that the website can't even come up.
Sweet mother of mercy. What are we going to do?
A wonderful, amazing person has offered to put me on private secured servers with all sorts of the latest bells and whistles as far as security goes. And so I'm going to be moving my website this week. So part of the website being down will be the migration from where I am to where I'm going. And then anybody who has a website knows that as soon as you load it back up, when you load the backup, there's always some glitches. So when it does come back up, it might be a little glitchy or things might not look right. But my husband will be in the background making sure all the plugins work and everything goes in order. And probably by Saturday, Sunday, it should be working up to normal. And hopefully not hackable anymore.
You know, I wish, you know, Anonymous, how they've been helping us out with a few things just recently. It's funny, it doesn't really work the same way, does it? Like, a hacker can't protect you from another hacker, can they?
Well, you know, I last night I was watching some stuff on Anonymous. So I was watching this documentary that they put out, and this is not news. You know, this happened a few years ago, you know, but it's actually really important. Articles that I'd written about Anonymous were tying them into the LUSEC and the infiltrated group that caused some havoc with the FBI and things like that. But when I was watching this documentary, they were talking about a PowerPoint presentation that was put out by H.B. Gary, Palantir Technologies, and another group. Palantir Technologies. And this is really, really important, folks, because this is Peter Thiel. And I've written about Peter Thiel a lot. And nobody never heard of Peter Thiel.
What's the deal with Thiel?
The deal with Thiel is he started PayPal. He was a co-founder of PayPal. He gave Zuckerberg his initial investment money and started Facebook. And he owns Palantir Technologies. He's invested in Blue Seed, which is a seasteading operation where they will have barges and huge, you know, cruise liner yacht, ginormous, out 12 miles out to sea so that they're in international waters and that they're not subject to any laws to wherever the landmass is that they're closest to. And people would have to have passports to come in and off the boat. And this would be the best of the best as far as think tanks go and creativity and ingenuity. So it would kind of be like a eugenics eugenics experiment floating out there in international waters. Palantir Technologies, let me get back to that. Palantir Technologies is the go-to favorite of the government when they want to hire a corporation to commit acts of surveillance on governments and anyone else. And they have connections to everything. So Palantir Technologies and H.B. Gary and this other group, and I can't remember their name right now, they all got together and they decided that they were going to put out massive amounts of propaganda against Anonymous, who were doing good works. And in this PowerPoint, they outline how they're going to do it, what they're going to say. And a lot of this information has entered into the alternative media, and it has been regurgitated over and over again as if it were true. And I have to apologize right now, because a lot of the articles that I've written previously have put Anonymous in a bad light, because I was regurgitating this information too.
Well, and in that case, I need to apologize as well, because I was regurgitating it too up until I think a couple of months ago when I started to get an inkling, hold on a second, this just isn't right.
Anonymous, one of the things that impressed me when I was watching this documentary was Anonymous, at the time of the Egyptian Arab Spring, they hooked the internet back up for them so that they could continue to communicate. Regardless of what was going on with the regime change and the revolution and all the subversive implications of it, and that didn't matter. What they were doing was for the people of Egypt, and that was a moment to bring back their source of information and their source of communication back to them so that the people could make an informed decision on what was going on literally in front of their face. and get information out to other sources so that we could see what was actually happening, not how it was being spun in any type of media, whether alternative or mainstream, but actually get to see real footage of how these people were being murdered and tortured right in the street. That is an amazing thing that we need to be grateful for. I mean, we may not agree with all of the tactics of Anonymous, but they are absolutely exposing corruption. And that is what the press was designed to do. And so they're doing their job as journalists, as hacktivists.
And I've found they've, because they've helped us with our problems kind of thing, it occurs to me that because their job is very similar to ours, like I'm not sure if I classify myself as a journalist. I'm just a douchebag with a microphone. But you're a journalist, and if it's kind of like a team, you know how in those big mainstream movies or whatever. I don't know whether it's Superman and they're working in the Daily Planet or whatever. There's a whole bunch of people that do an awful lot of different jobs for each other, and journalists often have informants, consultants, that kind of thing in order to get information that perhaps they wouldn't be able to get otherwise. And so it occurs to me that hacktivists are now a great tool in the hands of journalists that they choose to help, and I'm very grateful.
Well, absolutely. It's like what we say in guerrilla media, right? Whatever your talent is, bring it to the truth movement. If you're good at computers, if you're good at software, if you're good at building computers, if you're good at writing, if you're good at speaking, if your talent is art or music, whatever it is, bring it to the truth movement, because it's all needed and it all works in tandem for the same common goal, which is restoring not only the United States to a constitutional republic, but to the world, ensuring that each individual citizen and each individual government remains sovereign.
I completely agree. And the United States is just such a big, bad way right now. And there's just, I feel like insulting the people in power. Would that be classified as abusive power?
I think that calling a spade is never a bad thing.
Yeah. So truth, man, truth. And I really hate it when people can't handle the truth because they don't like the way it's delivered. Oh, he was yelling when he said the truth, therefore I'm not going to listen to the truth. It's just, for frack's sake, wake up, look at the information itself and understand that it doesn't matter what form it comes in. What matters is the substance.
It is the inbred cognitive dissonance, and I don't mean inbred like in a derogatory sense, but that the social memes have been ingrained multi-generationally so that we think that this is actually how we're supposed to react and what we're supposed to think about stuff. And it's an identity crisis as well. I'm realizing that people who refuse the cognitive dissonance, the reason why it's so offensive and they get so angry is because it's an identity crisis. They are identifying with the world in which has been presented to them, and you're telling them that it's not that way. And they have a personal investment in their own life, obviously everyone does, and you're telling them that who they are fundamentally is flawed because they have incorrect information on all fronts. That's an identity crisis. Then you take that to the county and to the city and to the state and to the government and to the nation and to the world. We're going through an identity crisis right now.
That's right. Everybody's struggling with cognitive dissonance, whereas I got over that and became a cognitive dissonant. No. Dissident. Yeah. I'm using my cognition to dissent. We'll
That's
be right back.
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's sad? There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on?
Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know can flow like this, like this, like this? Let's do it. How many dudes you know move like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check to the mic, check 1, 2, 3.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that is the Crusader. The Crusade against scumbaggery, where you swear to uphold the three oaths of the night, to have courage, to tell the truth, and to maintain your sacred honor. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel. Now, this is a problem. I wanted to bring you on so that we could discuss some of the newest articles at OccupyCorporatism.com, but the fucking site's down. Oh, my God.
Well, we can still talk about these articles. I mean, I have everything saved on Word documents on external hard drives, so.
Of course, but I wanted to talk about this this alleged super typhoon.
Oh, yes.
Anytime they want to hype up global warming, they call a typhoon a super typhoon. They call a storm a super storm. They just add super onto anything as if it actually, you know, makes it some kind of, Marvel comic book hero.
Well, yeah, sure. And then the UN is asking for $301 million, like 300 and that one extra is going to help out in any way, shape, or form. So $301 million to provide humanitarian assistance to the Philippines. Absolutely, we should be, you know, providing assistance, but I don't know. The UN...
Not through the UN, we shouldn't.
Look what they did with Haiti and cholera, you know.
They put the hate back into Haiti. All right.
Exactly.
We have freaking footage of them literally opening fire on shanty towns. Like, they just roll in with an armored vehicle and just start shooting for no reason.
Well,
these,
you know,
people
what?
Are freaking psychotic.
I went through Hurricane Andrew back in the early 90s. I think it was like 92, 93. That was incredible because the homestead, Florida, where I grew up, was completely decimated. And when we were in a two-story high or a four-story high-rise on the second floor, and when we came out to see the devastation, all the homes were completely decimated. It was weird because tornadoes had gone through, and like a row of seven houses, townhouses that were connected, and then just one closet with all the clothes hanging in it were left behind. It's crazy what a tornado will do. You know, it's insane. But after the storm, in came FEMA, in came the National Guard. There were tanks on the streets. There were brigades running down the streets with their guns loaded and Black Hawk helicopters overhead every night. You could hear shots. You could hear people screaming. It was incredible. It was like Bosnia. It was insane. And I just imagine on a small scale what the people in the Philippines are going through, just having gone through that. And there was no running water. And people were getting, families were having trouble getting into the devastated areas to get their families out, family members who were still there. No cell phones back then, only for the rich people. But it was insane. And I remember this one instance where there was in the high rise where we were staying, everybody's, you know, no electricity, no air conditioning. And it's in the middle of South Florida, in the middle of summer, by the way, when it's horribly hot. And most people's windows are blown out. So we're worried about keeping everyone safe. And so some of the men got together and they had handguns. They were registered gun owners. And so they were doing a patrol every night. And the soldiers came in and I was outside talking with some of the kids. And I noticed that the soldiers were talking to a couple of gentlemen. One of them was one of the patrolmen. And they asked if anyone was armed. And he said no. And that always struck me. It stayed with me with all these years that he would not admit that anyone on the premises was armed. They didn't want the government to know that. So I can just imagine.
They would have taken their guns that they paid good money for and have a right to bear.
Probably. I mean, this was way before I knew anything that was going on. I was just a kid. I just turned 13. Mm. You know? And I can just imagine what the people in the Philippines are actually going through right now, the devastation, because it's on a massive scale. What I'm talking about is just a small devastation compared to what they are going through.
And another storm is on the way right now.
Right. And as far as concealment goes, I'll explain something else. In Naranja Lakes, where all of this happened, the townhomes were like a row of seven, and there were courtyards where, you know, they would create a little rectangle, and you could drive in, and some of them ended in cul-de-sacs. And across the street, there were more, and there was just this main street that went by, and you could drive into these little cul-de-sacs into these homes. And the trucks were coming in and out of them with body bags. And they explained that they were collecting debris, putting it in body bags, and then carrying it away on trucks. And this is right near Homestead Air Force Base, where my father was stationed when I was a kid. And they were going to the base as well, taking these. Why would they fill up body bags? Now, they reported only four deaths during Hurricane Andrew, but I know from neighbors that there were multiple elderly people who had stayed in those homes that were completely decimated, a lot more than four people. 30 people that we knew were unaccounted for, and they were staying in their home, and they were between 65 and 85. So, you know. It's just horrible, I'm sure, what they're going through there, you know.
Mm. Well, I want to also say this because Russell Norman, a Green MP from New Zealand, said this super typhoon is the result of global warming. As far as I know, for the last 15 years, the temperature of the Earth has actually gone down. And sorry. It's not global warming, it's climate change. Yeah. It's kind of like legislation, you know? If you want legislation that will destroy every single person in the country's rights, especially those who happen to be patriots, you call it the Patriot Act. If you want the people to be afraid of something that happens all the time, call it climate change. Has climate change or has climate change not been happening for the last, I don't know, 4 billion years?
Yes.
I don't know.
The climate changes often.
I mean, it's just stupid. You know, back in the 70s, it was global cooling. The 90s, global warming. And because it never got cooler during the global cooling stage and never got warmer during the global warming stage, now they've figured out that, hey, we'll just call it climate change because that way it doesn't matter if it gets hotter or colder or better or worse. We're still correct. We can't be wrong.
People need to remember Project Cirrus. This was back in they've been doing geoengineering experiments since 1908. So let's think about that, folks. Since 1908, they've been doing geoengineering experiments, progressively getting better and better at it as new technology becomes available. And we're talking about all of this erratic weather. How many years has it been since 2008? Would you say that would be a block of time period that would facilitate the incredible weather systems that we see that are being created, or possibly that all of this geoengineering for, let's say, at least the last century is having a palatable effect now? I mean, is it human influenced? Absolutely. It's geoengineering.
That's right. And people won't even believe geoengineering when they see it, will they? You know? You see it being sprayed out of a frickin'. We've got it in HD footage here, folks. All right? HD footage taken in New Zealand of a big chemtrail being laid over the city. Right when it's being laid. Perfect. The money shot. And people still don't believe it, even though they see it in their own eyes. You know? No. That's just water vapor crystals in high altitude on a really hot day that just sit there for a couple of hours and then expand and then become a giant hazy mist. Yeah, that's natural.
Yes, absolutely.
It's fucking asinine.
I used to lay on the grass and look up at the clouds, and they would turn into bunnies or bikes or dragons. My children don't have that luxury.
Well, now it just looks like a big game of snakes and ladders.
A tic-tac-toe grid.
Mm.
And then, you know, the next day you get the blowover from 5 miles away. Those chemtrails are coming over. You know, and I constantly correct my 3-year-old daughter. That's not a cloud. It's a chemtrail. Because she has this little book, and it says, "Hi, cloud," and it's all these different clouds, and teaching her the different names of all the clouds. And I realize when I read this book to her that she's probably never going to see those clouds that she's learning about because of all the geoengineering. Isn't that terrible?
It's freaking terrible. I think that terrible is the name of the game. That's what happens when your society is run by terrible people.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, an even bigger problem than that is that good people don't want to be in power. Because good people don't want power. They don't want control. They've got really not all that much desire to it. That's what I've found anyway. I mean, I want enough power and control so that I can run my own life and not have anybody force me to do something I don't want to do. That's about the extent of how much power and control I really want. Unfortunately, because the scumbaggery element within society has so much power and control, I need to actually exercise as much of it as possible in my own life in order to maintain it at all.
It's hard because people don't want to stand out of a crowd. They feel much better if there's a bunch of people doing something, and then they'll go and do it, you know, regardless of whether it's good or bad. And unfortunately, we need people to step up and start the process, you know, and be brave enough to have their face out there and say what needs to be said so that other people will feel comfortable enough to follow. So we need more people to stand up in every way, shape, or form. Just like if you're good at this or that and the other, apply it to the truth movement. If you're good at this and that and the other, apply it to the re-grievance or the redress of grievances to your government.
How exactly can we redress grievances? Somebody invited me to a group yesterday, I think, and it's against genetic engineering and encouraging us to write submissions to the government and about it and saying that it will be effective. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been to a number of submissions being given by activists, researchers, politicians, etc. Not a single one of those submissions with the very valid concerns that they raised have ever been upheld, ever. I've never seen a single bit of legislation be even moderately modified as a result of people's submission. And I think there's a good reason for that, because what does the word submission mean? It means to submit. I mean, it's like, it reminds me of 300. Submission. Well, that's going to be a problem. Especially
that
in Sparta.
The problem is that what we need to do is stop complying with the system. We absolutely need to. Okay, so they're going to put genetically modified foods out there. Just don't buy them and don't patronize the companies that use them in their products. It's as simple as that. It might take a minute, but it will have a palatable effect. I always go back to the example of the evangelical Christians when they get something up their skirt and they want to go boycott Walmart or Target or whoever. And within weeks, there is a noticeable difference in profits. And so the company acquiesces and then the boycott ends. We could just have an indefinite boycott. You know, I don't want to eat your garbage. I don't want to be threatened with you holding my money. I know how to count my own money. I don't want to pay $3.50 or $5 or $7 or $9 a month for you to count my money. I know how to count. I know basic math. I'm going to keep my own money. You know, I don't want to buy food that I don't trust the corporation that's providing it to me. So I'm going to get a hold of my farmer and get a CSA box. I don't want to bathe my daughter in parabens so that she'll get breast cancer. So I'm going to find natural ways to make my own soap and my own shampoo. You know, just stop participating and it'll go away.
I think so. And here's another interesting element. Douchebaggery. Okay? Some people aren't actually guilty of scumbaggery. All right? Scumbaggery is an intentional thing. Douchebaggery is when you're just that much of an idiot that you just don't know what you're doing to a large degree. And you can recover from that. You can admit to yourself, you know what? I was being a douchebag, but now, you know, I once was blind, but now I can see. You know what I'm saying? And it occurs to me that there's so many employees of the government, employees of these massive, mega, evil corporations, employees of the state police, so on and so forth. They're all freaking slaves, and they're serving a master, and they have no idea that they're simply a douchebag who's facilitating scumbags. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Stop being a douchebag. Stop working for scumbags, because that's what a douchebag does.
Yes. And if you know something, tell somebody. You know? See something, say something. To the right.
Exactly. If you see scumbaggery, expose scumbaggery. All right? Don't report it to the Department of Homeland Security. To the very source of the scumbaggery. We'll be right back after the break at the thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Suzanne Posel from the former Occupy Corporatism.com is my guest. Gentlemen, to the show that's all about the boogieing it down in the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. My very special guest and fellow party rocker is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com, which allegedly will be migrated and back up on the internet by Thursday. Now, is this as bad a hack as the last time where they actually destroyed your whole website and they had to... you had to repost like all of your previous articles and such?
Not at this point. It's obviously on a timer. And so it starts up, I'm suspecting around 9 a.m. Pacific time, and then goes till sometime in the morning, because if I've been able to access my website like at 5 in the morning Pacific time or 7, or but after about 9 a.m. Pacific time, it's down. So it is being migrated on Thursday. And when you migrate a site, you know that it, you know, some glitches come along. So my husband's going to be on the backside making sure that all the plugins work and everything works right. And as far as I know, the theme has not been corrupted, hopefully. Because that would be terrible.
Yeah, I think so. There'd be like a double whammy to the face. It's really frustrating, isn't it?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So the hosting company I'm with now, they're working really hard to keep it at bay. They can't keep the website up, but they're keeping the attacks, blocking ISP addresses. But once it's moved, it should. It's going to be under a lot of protection, a lot of
You upgraded
protection.
Your security last time, and in fact you indeed had to pay some kind of an exorbitant monthly fee in order to maintain said security, and yet it's not good enough.
Yeah, well, there,
are you going to ask for your frickin' money back?
No. There's certain other protections. There's Cloudflare and other programs that I didn't have access to because they're very, very expensive. But I'm getting about $3,000 a month worth of protection for a very, very reasonable price. And a lot of it is a gift. And I am very, very grateful to the people who are giving this to me. And they told me that they believe in what I'm doing and don't want this to happen because I've been attacked since I moved my site to the new hosting company. It's been about 10 attacks that have happened in the last couple of months. And when I was talking to the hosting company, they said some of them were just really small hacks, so they didn't even tell me about it. But when they added it all up, it's been 10 in the last like 3 months. 4 months? That's a lot of attacks.
Far out. You must be doing something right.
Yes, but I want to continue to do it.
Yeah. In World War II, when Britain was being attacked by the Germans and they were launching their counterattacks, bombing runs and so on and so forth, the Lancaster bomber pilots had a saying that the air defences at the time in Germany were flak cannons. You know, they put these big black puffs of shrapnel and they'd just tear planes apart in midair. The bomber pilots would say, well, when you're getting the flak, it means you're over the target and drop your payload. And I believe this is what's happening now, that you're becoming one of the biggest growing thorns in the side of the establishment, and indeed infiltrators in alternative media who try to act like they're credible journalists when they're really not, because they don't actually have any integrity. As a result, of course you're going to be fired upon. Of course you're going to be attacked, you know? If anything, you should just be like, hey, I'm doing something right, and if your website's down for 3 days, don't worry about it. Just go, hey, I could take 3 days off.
That's what I've been doing. I'm still writing articles, and when I do get back up online, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff up there. But I am. I'm enjoying my time with my family. I'm playing with the kids more, you know, doing stuff, going to the park and having a good time. Because I know that the website's down, and there's no reason to get upset. It's beyond my control. People are attacking my website. I can't make them stop. But I am doing what I can to make sure that they don't have the ability to do it ever again. And after that's complete, then I can just, you know, skip along the path as I was doing before.
I do think so. And it'll be fun. It'll be fun to be back.
And, oh, absolutely.
Take it to a new level. Got to take it to a new level. In fact, a couple of people were asking me yesterday, Suzanne, you know, Vinny, what do you need? Do you need help in this area or that area? And it's like, it's actually quite difficult to get help from people who ask you how they can help you. Because somebody who's actually going to help you doesn't ask you how they can help. They just go ahead and help you with some way that they see that you're struggling and it appears very obvious and they start helping you with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with the place where it's going to be migrated. It was a complete gift, and you know, maybe it's my upbringing, but it's kind of hard for me to accept a gift. So I feel kind of guilty about that, but I'm extremely appreciative of it. At the same time, it's very humbling. People offered me on leaving messages in my email and on Facebook about, do you need this? Do you need that? I have some extra equipment. I have this. If you need storage space, I have servers. There are a lot of people that will help you. That was wonderful. It was wonderful to see. I'm so absolutely grateful that people actually care.
Well, I see this happening a lot more often recently, and I also wanted to iterate to the listening audience that this show, the Vinny Eastwood Show, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, you know, we're bringing on guests from all over the world talking about all sorts of stuff. You know, you'll basically, you'll never hear the same thing twice in any two given broadcasts. And I am pretty low on the funds right now. Like, I only just have enough money to cover the rent this week kind of thing. And then I'm down to absolute zero, which means I can pay my rent, but I can't pay my internet or my food or put gas in my car or anything else. So I'm in a bit of desperate financial straits right now. And I think the last time I asked for donations, I got well over a few $1,000s. But, you know, living's expensive. And in 3 weeks, that's just rent and food. $1,000 is gone. Mm-hmm. And that's why I encourage people specifically to donate through the subscription, so that they give a monthly contribution of I don't know, whatever you feel like, $1, $5, $20. Some people do $50 or $100. Really, really do need that regular support coming in, so that I don't have to keep worrying about whether or not there's any cash in that account. You know, I did 11 videos of shows over the weekend. You know, I chose to not take my weekend off as I normally do, because I was just that much behind on archiving 11 shows onto the YouTube channel, and I did it. Along with 5 other shows archived onto the VinnieEastwoodShow.com in the audio archiving, which takes a bit longer, actually, and a lot more effort. And so I'm not messing around, you know. I'm not being lazy. I'm not just, you know, mooching off people and then going off and spending it on freaking hookers of blow or anything, bro. You know, I'm consistently churning out the work, and I'm the only person in New Zealand that's accomplished this kind of level of standing in the international research and activism community. As a result, it's kind of unique. And New Zealanders particularly, if you are a New Zealander and you have listened to the Vinnie Eastwood show, and if you have learned one thing from this show, give me $1. If you've learned 100 things, give me $100. If you've learned 1,000 things, give me $1,000. You know what I'm saying? Imagine that. For every great lesson in life, you give somebody $1. I'd be a billionaire. No, seriously, I've learned ridiculous amounts of things on this show. It's I remember when I was watching documentaries, Suzanne, you know, first 6 months just drilling into it, and you're watching 2 documentaries a day, and you just this geometric quantity of knowledge just starts getting accumulated. And now I'm doing that every day for 2 hours. And helping other people to bring that understanding and greater awareness of the world around them as well. And I want to iterate that I am so, so very, very grateful to all of you for listening, to all of you for contributing, for all of you that are sticking up for me on Facebook posts when people are attacking me, for all of you who send me emails and messages of encouragement telling me to keep up the good work and everything. I'm so freaking grateful, man. I can't express, really. I mean, I'm a wordsmith. There's very little things that I can't express, but I can't actually express how much I appreciate all of your support. The word appreciate doesn't even cut it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just on a real gratitude buzz today, because I've just had so many people come out of the woodwork to help me these last couple of days. I wanted to let you know, all of you who listen, even if you haven't contributed, even if you haven't given me those words of encouragement or anything like that, you're still listening, and I'm eternally grateful for that. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Suzanne Posel is my guest. Hour 2 coming up right now. Don't you go anywhere, folks.